Hello and welcome to Wax Lyrical, the advertising podcast from Wax On and the Marketing Society. I'm Mark.
Hi, I'm Paul.
And I'm Ben.
And in this episode, it's Christmas in Adland. And we've got an election. I mean, what on earth does that mean? We are in such uncharted territory. And really loads of other campaigns to talk about, including campaigns from LinkedIn, this new thing called Beer Munchies, whatever they are.
Yep.
Let's try it. So for the first time in 100 years or so, I've forgotten the actual soundbite. We have a Christmas election. And we're not actually going to talk about that, but the fact that it comes in the peak period for our sector, when there's loads of really interesting ads out there. I just wondered what you thought that unique formula of Christmas and an election will mean for Adland.
I think we were talking to one of our friends yesterday who buys a substantial amount of media around Christmas. And he was talking about the sort of the trends of what normally happens at this time of year. I think for the big retail brands, I think it's actually quite a good opportunity, because I think people are already so fed up with British politics, and so I think like our sort of retail ads, the famous John Lewis and the Waitrose's and the Sainsbury's ads, they could provide a little bit of I would say a bake-off.
Light relief.
A bake-off vibe, if you know what I mean.
I've not thought of that.
And so people will go, actually, that's a nice distraction from all the nonsense going on. So it could actually end up working really well for them if the ads are really good. I'd imagine they'll probably be thinking that too.
It's a difficult one, because you're trying to sort of take yourself out of the... You work in an agency bubble, and what was it going to mean to be a consumer around this period? I think... My first thought was they're going to be quite different channels. I think this the traditional sort of heartland of the big Christmas ad space is largely TV.
Yeah, and but I think political advertising is not allowed on TV
exactly,
or radio.
So
yeah.
Political will be doubling down in the digital space. So I do feel as though they'll be probably quite separate, whilst definitely happening at the same time, and will our brains be processing both and definitely seeing both.
But I thought the battleground will be outdoor, and so Global and others will be rubbing their hands with glee.
Don't get me wrong, your social feeds will be full of both,
yeah,
I suppose, because
yeah.
the big retailers will be doing kind of backup with digital. Like, it will be the digital will be the kind of the messy kind of playground, I imagine. And it will be an interesting one to see kind of people's, yeah, as Ben was touching on, people's spirits should be going one way, but I think kind of politics is probably bringing people's spirits the other. So that'd be an interesting kind of casserole, as we like to call it, of activity.
Yeah, I think the point you were making, Ben, was that the retailers, as we know, because we've worked on big retailers, and when they get their Christmas ads ready in July, so those £1 million production budgets will have been well and truly spent. And if I was a CMO, there's no way I'm not getting my ad out. So that will continue, I'm sure. And all of those media deals would have been done a long time in advance. But anyway, yeah, TV is not affected in terms of advertising.
I think there'll definitely be
an election.
There'll definitely be a lot around kind of responsibility of spend, and that's one of the conversations we had with our colleague that Ben talked about. Kind of people are, again, across the board thinking about their spend, and Christmas is always historically, whenever John Lewis lands, it's always the next bit is how much did they spend on it, and that's usually just in the production of it. So add the media into that equation, then I think there will be a kind of a brighter light on responsibility of spend across both production and media, because it's the same for politics. We've had the same conversation around, are they spending it responsibly, the 100 million which we've talked about before. So I think that should be, or that I expect that will be kind of one of the things that's talked about.
I'd just like to remind you the context for this is the most recent IPA Bellwether study had quite a gloomy outlook for what was coming up, and I worry that it's the squeezed middle who will be saying, do you know what, if we were planning to spend a bit more this Christmas, I don't think we should, because I'm not quite sure what's going to happen because of the uncertainty.
Yep.
So I think pre-election you might see some of those squeeze middle brands holding back. Now what happens after the election, I'll put mine on the table. I'm going for a Boris bounce? Well, I mean, you know my politics, but yes. So let's put that to one side. But I reckon he's going to win, and I think he will win with a clear majority. And I think there will be a national sigh of relief that will involve people sticking their hands in their pockets and spending, because thank God that's over. We can get back to kind of normality. And and if I was a CMO, I probably would be holding a bit of money back to see if he does win. Mm-hmm. And if he does win, I'd write, right, boys, all guns are blazing for the January sales. I think we'll have a record January if he does win with a clear majority.
I think you're right. Yeah, any clarity, the there's a very clear positive relationship, isn't it? If we had a nice line graph in front of us, clarity over our political future will definitely, in my opinion, equal an uplift in spend, as you described. So how quickly that happens, maybe January is the time that we'll see it.
Let's talk about the news overnight before we started recording, which was that Twitter is going to ban all political advertising. And again, not necessarily focusing on the impact it will have on politics, but the impact it will have elsewhere. How do you think that will reverberate in our advertising world?
Well, it's interesting because obviously Facebook's the one that normally gets all the press because of the impact it had on the Trump election and obviously sort of Brexit as well. But Twitter plays a huge role because of the conversation that goes on there. And it, as you know, I think the quote from Jack Dorsey is that political influence should be earned and not paid, which is a really, I totally agree with. And I think it'd be really interesting to see how Facebook respond to it. But it comes down to how much money they already have allocated to sort of something like Twitter, or versus whether Facebook is their main battleground because they can be more influential on it. I don't know, because there's a different type of behaviour where people go onto those different channels for different things. People are potentially more susceptible to political advertising on Facebook, so therefore I think, you know, it'll be interesting to see how much impact this has.
It's interesting. I'm just looking through it now. Like, Hillary Clinton has jumped on it and said, great, this is what democracy needs. Then she calls out Facebook. She's like, what do you say, Facebook? I'm not sure what difference it will make in terms of, obviously, it completely takes that out as an opportunity, but I expect it'll be pretty quite a simple, okay, well, what we're going to spend there, we'll just reinvest to Facebook.
Or outdoor. If they were planning to spend a lot on those social channels, then digital outdoor would be a great place for them. But it brings me to the other point, which is, how do we feel about the fact that still in this country, political advertising does not come under the control of CAP and the ASA?
It's ridiculous.
I think it's terrible.
It absolutely has to be sort of in the same camp as sort of all the brands and all the other people who advertise and spend the money. It's no different.
Now, in their defence, they'll say that it's very difficult to regulate, and I don't think we've got the time, or maybe the mental capacity, to actually work out how they would regulate it. But there are people who are paid a lot more than I am and a lot cleverer than me who I really expect to tackle this and get it sorted out.
It's ridiculous that you kind of got ads like, you know, Go Compare, which was the recent one with Gio Campario sort of like in a car accident, and that getting loads of complaints or going through the ASA filter. Like, that's just, you know, for that to sort of like to be scrutinized and for clear lies by a political party or by sort of, you know, by sort of a political group not to be, it's just, it doesn't make any sense. I think the way in which social media can perpetuate hate and is too open in order to sort of to manipulate freedom of speech becomes this kind of like thing that people hide behind and use it as a defense, and I don't think that's a fair thing to do. I really don't think that those principles that people sort of talk about around freedom of speech apply to the way in which Facebook works.
In the bleak midwinter, frosty tweets made moan.
So I was talking earlier about a potential Boris bounce. I wonder if there's been a bit of a sport bounce this summer, because there's been quite a lot of it on telly and brands have been really diving in there, haven't they? You wanted to talk about rugby specifically, didn't you?
Yeah, I think definitely a bounce. If you take my wallet as a single straw poll, then definitely it's been well spent whilst the sport's been on.
Alcohol or food or domestic appliances? What have you been spending on?
Getting together, I think it's been good. Yeah, good positive experiences with people people I love, which is, and sport is the kind of the magnet. So yeah, great. But yeah, I want to talk about this. I think we've had a great summer in England for sport. We've talked about some of this before, from the kind of the cricket, which is exciting. We've had the Lionesses and the Roses, and we've seen brands kind of get more and more involved. The netball one was particularly interesting because it's kind of quite a new sport and it's really high growth. So this is the Rugby World Cup. I guess when this goes out, we'll...
Tantalisingly, we don't know at the time of recording what the result of the rugby game is going to be.
But hopefully, listeners, when you're tuning into this, we're holding up.
You've got a hangover.
What's it called, Ben? The Webb Ellis Cup? Is that what it is?
The Webb Ellis Cup.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, major sporting events for us are always quite fascinating to see what brands do or don't get involved. I think it's been a real mixture of those you'd expect, the kind of Land Rovers, the Guinnesses are getting involved. There's been a few that you wouldn't expect. Some quite strange adverts, but also I've seen a lot of used it as a media buy opportunity versus actually we're going to make it rugby related. Yeah, some of the adverts I've seen well documented are saying, yeah, they've chosen the semi-final to launch their kind of hero piece of work. So you can see, if you think months back, kind of the media buyers had been like, the World Cup semi-final will be at this time. England should be there, so let's double down and take a chance and buy that. So, I mean, of the adverts, I think there's one that stands out for me, which is the Guinness called Liberty Fields, which is a true story around the ladies' Japanese team and the heritage around that, and how they were real pioneers, like really kicking against the kind of the archetypal female in a Japanese culture. So amazing what they've done for the sport, and I'm always pleasantly surprised how big rugby is in Japan, and they're very, very good at it. So these women played a huge role in that for both the male and female side of the sport. So, and Guinness have got a good heritage of kind of obviously great ads, but backing kind of great stories, true stories, that have got real passion that kind of fits with their brand. So that's probably, for me, that was the top one.
All we ever saw was a team.
I guess the turkeys, I would say. I think the confused.com.
Yeah, what was that about?
I really like it.
Can you explain it, though?
So confused.com, that's fair enough. They don't really belong to, like, have the right to sort of talk about this kind of stuff, but the actual creative idea for those idents is really lovely.
Okay, you're going to have to explain it, because I don't get it.
Yeah. It's using Japanese
language.
I saw they
were about Japanese, what, kind of philosophical things?
They're just, sort of one word, Japanese sort of, almost sort of translation, using rugby as a way of doing it. So in terms of decluttering, in terms of working together, all these kind of things. I thought they were lovely. I thought they're absolutely brilliant.
What's that got to do with confused.com?
Absolutely nothing. So I don't get,
because, you know, I'm call me old fashioned, but if it was my money, I'd like it all to be integrated.
Yeah, I know. That'd be great. But no, I think
so. Just do something completely random.
It does feel like that.
Hey, agency, take loads of money. Yeah. Do something completely random.
Oh my god, we've got 4 weeks to make it. What are we going to do? Too highbrow for me.
I didn't get it.
I thought they were really nice little sort of vignettes, and really nice little bits of content.
Oh well, at least we've had a balanced debate.
But I agree. I don't know what they've got to do with confused.com.
Lots of work to talk about in this episode, and next up is LinkedIn, and it's in the news because it's a first for them. They haven't done traditional brand advertising before, and they are behaving like everybody else, and they've spent a lot of money on a nice shiny ad and put it on the nice shiny telly, and I wondered what we thought about it.
What am I searching for in job terms?
I'm searching for a job where I'm in charge.
It's actually, I really like it as a sort of as a piece of film, like, and as a sort of, it's obviously really well made, and it's like, it's really nice. And obviously they've had lots of supporting out of home, whether it's part of the same campaign, but it's more just sort of, I'd imagine, just sort of awareness top up that they're doing all around. I've seen around London, but I imagine they're probably doing it all around the country as well, which are very simple posters as well. This is obviously a really nice sort of well made, sort of well acted film, but it's not just about the creative side of it. I think the message around this is kind of a bit, doesn't really sit very well with me. To have this kind of, I want this, I want that, I want my job to be this, I just think sets a really unrealistic expectation for what actually getting into the workforce and actually earning, earning a living and the ups and downs of work really are like. I think it's exactly what you'd imagine a social media ad to be around the workplace.
I really don't like LinkedIn for what it has become, which is kind of virtue signaling and actually what almost become what other social media channels are. You log in like with sort of. Like almost leaning back to think, oh,
what
God,
am I going to see today?
Who's doing better?
Who's going to be showing me their pants
who's
today?
Who's doing better than me, or who's absolutely chuffed to be nominated for?
So we know that Paul collects the most outrageous exaggerations on LinkedIn. Would you like to share some with us?
It's faux humility, really, isn't it? It's this faux humility is just unbearable.
Like, would you say that if you were down the pub, would you just turn to your mate and be like,
let's make that ad?
Yeah.
Let's make the ad.
Well, actually,
chat in a pub, but LinkedIn chat.
That's a good idea.
Where my idea came from, remember years ago, they made these amazing posters about the craziest, like, client feedback quotes. Remember that?
Yeah. No, I don't, but I can imagine.
I want to do something similar in terms of these amazing quotes from people talking kind of rubbish and faux humility about absolutely chuffed to be something, incredibly proud to be, so excited to be announcing.
Right, this happened. Oh my God, that
what does
kills
that mean?
Me.
What does even that right this happened?
As in ellipsis, don't forget the
Is that it's meant to see you're kind of in a burlesque way setting me up for some real
big news.
Real big news, right? Yeah. You won't, but today in the office,
this happened.
Now, I will be fair and say, I'm sure if you dug into the archives, we've probably all done that.
I'm not gonna. I reckon I am super cautious about my LinkedIn.
I probably may have done some on behalf of us about.
Oh my God! It's got my name together.
Well, because we were proud of getting your award.
My MBA.
Let's just pause on that. Congratulations.
Yeah, huge congratulations.
Amazing achievement. And make sure don't edit this out. We're all very proud of you. It's an amazing achievement. So well done, MBE Runicus.
I found my job.
And I found my job on LinkedIn.
When was the last time you felt it? An awakening of your senses.
As I said, lots of work to talk about, and I thought there was a beautiful juxtaposition of two campaigns. One is Pucker Herbs and the other is Pucker Pies, although it's beautiful that Ben actually got them confused. They're quite different, Ben.
No. You and I got them confused. You were talking about the Pucker Herbs and I was talking about Pucker Pies, and we were like, hang on a sec, we're not talking about the same campaign. Are you sure?
That's 10 minutes I won't get back, isn't it?
Anyway, let's start with Pucker Herbs and
better known as Pucker Teas for most.
Normal people.
I didn't know they were herbs, so I assume that's part of it.
Yeah, that's how they started, isn't
NPD.
It? And I will be surprised if you have not seen some of their outdoor work. It looks like they briefed their media agency to buy every square centimetre of outdoor that there could possibly be. They're not on telly, and as you know, we often want to not talk about TV ads. But Ben, it's an art direction driven campaign, and I just wondered what you thought about that.
I have to say, having done a bit of research into it, that it's done by an in-house team, and I think this is one of those things when I think an in-house team has lacked a little bit of self-awareness about what a good sort of campaign would look like. That said, the out-of-home is really good.
Is the campaign.
The out-of-home is really good, but the film itself, I didn't like.
I'm not quite sure where the film was intended to be seen, other than maybe some social post. Some cut downs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But off air, we were having an unkind moment as we dug a little deeper into the Pucker Herbs world, and we found a making of film about the film that we're not quite sure where it's meant to be seen anyway. And it is difficult. And I so apologise because, I get quite insecure about stuff that I say and I do. But the making of film is a little bit...
This is not good. Simple as that.
I think we always like to try and be constructive, don't we?
Yes. Let's be constructive.
The making of was unnecessary, I think, is one way of describing it.
Yeah. Don't ever make making ofs. No one's interested.
Feel your power.
Let's go to a tongue-in-cheek campaign from Pucker Pies. And could they be anything else? Because it's just a pie.
The Friday night pie lovers in the chippy wearing slippers.
Yeah, it could have been more. It could have been more fun. It could have been more ironic. I think it's still sort of suffered a little bit from trying to be a little bit too worthy and about sort of, you know, these pies are from here. We made these pies. It's all about how a pie fits into everyday life. And they did try and be a bit funny. And I don't think it quite worked when they talk about ketchup artistry and what have you. Anyway, but Pucker Pies, you know, it's one of those sort of like quintessential sort of British sort of chip shop brands. And I just think they probably could have pushed it a little bit further.
Mm. I thought the, is it the pie for the people? They're sort of, is that a new positioning?
I don't know, but I like
if it's not, I think it's bang on. Yeah, as in I saw that and I'm like, yeah, you are.
This one's made by us.
Pucker.
The people's pie.
A brief I would have loved to have got, and in fact, I did work on this. It's the National Lottery.
8,000 grants for local sports.
Performing arts gets our support.
8 is a magic number.
They have funded 15 Oscar-winning films. They have managed to play a role in saving from extinction 20 animal species. They have created 8,000 sports centres. They've raised a total of £40 billion for the good causes. What an amazing story.
Amazing.
Allegedly, that's in the ad, but I can't see that.
It's one of those classic ones I think is less is more. Like, they've got an amazing director from the
greatest showman. So the Michael Gracie is his name,
the,
I think.
The choreography and the production is beautiful and amazing, and but it's just a lot going on. It gets lost, and I think it gets lost because Paul and I were talking about this. It gets lost primarily simply because you lose track of what they're saying.
I think there's a mismatch between the visual and the audio. Like, if I describe this creatively as a great ad on mute.
These are the magic numbers.
As ever, food has come to the fore in our podcast, and there's another ad that Ben wants to mention, which, have I got this right? It's a German campaign for Rustlers, which is a frozen microwavable burger. Is that right?
That's the one.
Yeah. I think I've seen it in the frozen microwavable burger part of the supermarket, because I don't eat them. No, that's not me being arrogant. I just don't eat them. So this is a campaign in Germany for a frozen microwavable burger called Rustlers.
Du bist einsam. Papa. Einsam.
This is definitely going to be divisive. It already is divisive. We've all thought about this, whether we should even talk about it. The reason I like it, the reason I think it's funny, is because obviously, one, it's Rustlers. Mm. It's such...
Which I always confuse with a 1980s porn brand.
That's Razzle.
Oh.
I don't know why I know that.
I think you answered that far too quickly.
Well, no, you're thinking of Hustler.
I am.
Hustler,
aren't I? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, okay. Slightly different brand.
Is it?
Anyway.
Oops.
Yeah. And I think what these guys have done, my interpretation of this is they've gone, okay, well, it's for a German market. The German market may think this is a ridiculous product. So how are we going to speak to them? We're going to speak to them in a sort of like German art house way, because it's really sort of different and weird and funny. I think it's hilarious. I hope it's meant to be hilarious, but I could never watch the full version. It's a 70-minute version of this. 70-minute sort of like, 70-minute production.
Well, Benjamin, it is available unbelievably, and I still can't quite believe this. It is available on Amazon Prime.
to buy.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Mm.
Not even on the free one.
Yeah.
Total wank.
But it's meant to be. That's the point. It knows it's meant to be.
I mean, it has to be about... When we first debated this, I was like, are they investing in the German film industry? Is this part of something else? Like, it has
Channel 4 and the BBC.
It has to be, but it's not. But it must be. The only way I can like square this away in my head is that it's for the PR value.
And yeah.
So I started to read the plot of the German art house film that is a subliminal ad for a microwave burger.
Yes,
can you remind me what the plot is? Because I did read it and I lost it.
It's about a dad who's a burger and
burger. Yeah, the dad is a burger.
The dad is a burger.
It's the 150. It's celebrating the 150th anniversary of the hamburger.
Ah, yes, that's it. There's a strategic insight here.
And
which is that the hamburger was originated from Germany. Everyone thinks it's an American thing, but
it's from Hamburg.
Germany. Yes. So there's a bit of a connection.
In Hamburg?
I think it might be. So everyone thinks it's an American invention. It's not. It's actually a German invention. And so there's a kind of connection there. Look,
there's an anthropomorphization of a burger going on in this German art house film.
Art house film, yeah, it's totally ridiculous. But
And what drugs do you have to be on when you're watching this film?
I don't know whoever is going to watch the full version.
So therefore, and you know what Paul and I are going to say.
What's
so
the point?
When the CMO is being quizzed, so what's the ROI on this film that you've made, mate?
PR. It'll all be done on basically that. It'll be.
And how many frozen microwavable burgers has it sold?
Well, who knows, yeah?
Unsterblich!
Sollten Schluss machen für heute. Strengt ihn zu sein.
I think almost by accident we came across this campaign for, I don't know, what is it? Is it Brew City or is it Beer Munch? Or is it Beer Munch by Brew City? I don't know. Well, what is it?
It's Beer Munch, I think.
Beer Munch.
As the advert described. Yeah, this is one of those ones, I think for most of us, it, actually watching live TV kind of stopped you. You know, it's, I was like,
what is
hang
that?
Hang on, I'm watching this.
Great track.
Yeah, great.
Brilliant track.
Oh, it's Yuzu, isn't it?
I didn't know at first. Yeah, it is Yuzu. Amazing track.
Beer Munch.
Yummy.
Hello. Beer Munch?
Friends, I present Beer Munch.
Brew City is...
Beer Munch.
Beer Munch.
What is this?
And it's a bit of a WTF moment.
Like, yes.
What is this? What is this ad? I want to find out more. So for that alone, well done. I think it's Brew City. It's McCain's own brand.
It's a McCain's product from the US, isn't
which,
it?
Yeah. Which I think's a pretty serious player in the States.
Yeah.
And I guess they're trying
big in chips.
They've brought that success over the pond. It is frozen snacks.
I think so. Yeah,
frozen snacks. That's right. Which they've tried to. Well, I guess was quite smartly positioned next to Britain's love of beer and snacks.
But let's be honest, these have been around forever. You go to Marks and Spencer's, you get those little party boxes, and you put them in the oven when you're a bit drunk, and then they come out, and there's something vaguely.
But they would never say that.
But no, because no,
well,
and they weren't. This
yeah.
is what it is. It's the beauty of packaging, and I mean that literally and metaphorically.
Yeah, yeah.
So those slightly expensive little kind of petit four. What was it called? Petit four. Those things you have at posh parties on plates.
Vol-au-vents.
Yeah, well, vol-au-vents are the other end. Of the 1980s party. Canapes. It's canapes.
Yeah.
It's working class canapes. That's what it is.
Wow.
And they've put them into a package and they've given them a nice name and kind of repositioned it and gone, yeah, I'm having some of that.
Mm. Well, it's one of those ads when you, well, the best thing I can say about it is that you. When you watch it, you go, I don't work in
this. Yeah, you're positively salivating.
Yeah, and I don't. Yeah, exactly. I'm literally spitting. But you watch it, you go, well, I don't. You feel I don't work in this industry. All I want is what that is. I want that now. Like, I don't care.
Well,
I forgot
you were an ad man and said, I just want a pint of beer and some.
You just suddenly went, I'm going to buy that.
Pickled onion, cheesy, frozen.
Yeah, the sort of jalapeno
melty
thingy, bottle tops.
Burr,
jalapeno bottle tops. Yes, please. I'm going to go and get some this weekend.
Yes.
I'm going to get some for the rugby on Saturday.
Are you really going to get some for the weekend?
I was just hooked.
Please bring them on. Please bring them in like a silver tray as well.
The Yazoo track. It's well made, okay. It's weird, okay. It's exactly what something like that should be in my mind, which is kind of doesn't take itself seriously. Is got a really sort of amazing energy to it, and just makes you think, what is that? Get it to me now.
It's Beer Munch.
Well, that was a whirlwind of loads of work. I really enjoy talking about the work. We don't often get the time to focus on so much work, good and bad and intermediate. So great that we did that. Thank you.
Great. Good luck, England. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
See you soon.
See you soon. Take care.
Bye.